Track 5, The Nativity, The Shepherds, The Presentation, and The Three Wise Men.
The time has come for Jesus to be born, and Mary and Joseph have been travelling on a winter's day towards Bethlehem. Maria Valtorta writes, Mary is on a little grey donkey, all enveloped in a heavy mantle. On the saddle there is a little trunk with the basic essential things. Joseph is walking at the side, holding the reins. Are you tired? He asks now and again. Mary looks at him, smiling, and replies, No, Joseph, I am not. The third time, she adds, You must be tired walking. Oh, it's nothing for me, says Joseph. I was only thinking that if I had found another donkey, you would have been more comfortable, and we could have travelled faster. But I just could not find another. Everybody needs a mount nowadays. But take heart, we'll soon be in Bethlehem. They meet a shepherd who cuts across the road with his herd. Joseph bends down to say something to him, and the shepherd nods in assent. Joseph then takes the donkey and drags it behind the herd into the grazing ground. The shepherd pulls a coarse bowl out of his knapsack. He milks a big sheep with swollen udders and hands the bowl to Joseph, who offers it to Mary. May God bless you both, exclaims Mary, you for your love and you for your kindness. I will pray for you. Following the directions of the shepherd, whose name is Elias, they find shelter in a stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem, in the company of their donkey and an ox. While Joseph is tending a fire he has started, Mary is on her knees praying. A thin ray of moonlight creeps in through a crack in the vault, and it seems like a blade of unearthly silver looking for Mary. It is now on her head, where it forms a halo of pure light. Mary raises her head. Her face shines in the white moonlight, and it becomes transfigured by a supernatural smile. The light is given off more and more intensely from Mary's body. It absorbs the moonlight, and it is now unbearable to the eye. The Virgin disappears in so much light, as if she had been absorbed by an incandescent curtain. And the Mother emerges. Yes, when the light becomes endurable once again to my eyes, I see Mary with the newborn Son in her arms. A little baby, rosy and plump, bustling with his little hands as big as rosebuds, and kicking with his tiny feet that could be contained in the hollow of the heart of a rose. He is crying with a thin, trembling voice, just like a newborn little lamb. Mary looks at her baby and adores him, weeping and smiling at the same time. She bends down to kiss him, not on his innocent head, but on the centre of his chest, where underneath there is his little heart beating for us, and where one day there will be the wound. And his mother is doctoring that wound in advance with her immaculate kiss. The ox, standing as it is, hides Mary, but she calls, Joseph, come! Joseph rushes, and when he sees, he stops, struck by reverence, and he is about to fall on his knees where he is, but Mary insists, "Come, Joseph." She leans on the hay with her left hand, and holding the child close to her heart with her right one, she gets up and moves towards Joseph. They meet at the foot of the straw bed, and they look at each other, weeping blissfully. "Come, let us offer Jesus to the Father," says Mary. And while Joseph kneels down, she stands up between two trunks supporting the vault. She lifts up her creature in her arms and says, "Here I am, on his behalf, O God. I speak these words to you. Here I am to do your will, and I, Mary, and my spouse Joseph, with him. Here are your servants, O Lord. May your will always be done by us, in every hour, in every event, for your glory and your love." Then Mary bends down and says, "Here, Joseph, take him," and offers him the child. "What, I? Me? Oh, no, I am not worthy." Joseph is utterly dumbfounded at the idea of having to touch God. But Mary insists, smiling, "You are well worthy. No one is more worthy than you are, and that is why the Most High chose you. Take him, Joseph, and hold him while I look for the linens." Joseph, blushing almost purple, stretches out his arms and takes the baby. He presses him to his heart and bursts into tears, exclaiming, "Oh, Lord, my God!" He bends down to kiss his tiny feet and feels them cold. So he goes between the ox and the donkey, with his back to the door, bending over the newborn to form, with his body, a shelter, the two sides of which are a grey head with long ears and a huge white muzzle with a steaming nose and two gentle, soft eyes. A little later, 12 shepherds, directed by an angel, have arrived at the grotto where Jesus has just been born. Levi, the youngest shepherd who saw the angel first, sneaks a look and whispers, "I can see a beautiful young woman and a man bending over a manger, and I can hear a little baby crying, and the woman is speaking to him in a voice. Oh, what a voice." Joseph turns around and comes to the door. "Who are you?" "Shepherds," one of them answers. "We brought you some food and some wool. We have come to worship the Saviour." "Come in." They go in, and the stable becomes brighter because of the light of the torches. The older men push the young ones in front of them. Mary turns around and smiles. "Come," she says, "come." She invites them with her hand and her smile. She takes the boy who saw the angel, and she draws him to herself against the manger, and the boy looks and is happy. The others, invited also by Joseph, move forward with their gifts, and they place them at Mary's feet with a few deep-felt words. They then look at the baby, who is weeping a little, and they smile, moved and happy. One of them, somewhat bolder than the rest, says, "Mother, take this wool. It is soft and clean. I prepared it for my child who is about to be born, but I offer it to you. Lay your son on this wool. It will be soft and warm." And he offers the sheep hide, a beautiful hide, well covered with soft white wool. Mary lifts Jesus and puts it around him. Then she shows him to the shepherds who, kneeling on the hay on the ground, look at him ecstatically. They become bolder, and one suggests he should be given a mouthful of milk. They milk a sheep, and with the hem of a piece of linen dipped into the warm, creamy milk, Mary moistens the lips of the baby who sucks the sweet cream. They all smile, and even more so, when Jesus falls asleep in the warmth of the wool, with the little bit of linen still between his lips. But you can't stay here, it's cold and damp, and there is too strong a smell of animals, one of the shepherds says. It's not good for the Saviour. I know, says Mary with a deep sigh, but there is no room for us in Bethlehem. Take heart, woman, we will look for a house for you. And I will tell my mistress, says the shepherd Elias, the one they had met on the road. She is good, she will receive you, even if she had to give you her own room. As soon as it is daylight, I will tell her. Her house is full of people, but she will find room for you. For my child, at least, says Mary, Joseph and I can lie on the floor, but for the little one. Don't worry, woman, I will see to it, and we will tell many people what we were told. You will lack nothing. For the time being, take what our poverty can give you. We are shepherds. We are poor too, says Joseph, and we cannot reward you. Oh, we don't want it, says one of the shepherds. Even if you could afford it, we would not want it. The Lord has already rewarded us. He promised peace to everybody. You are blessed, woman, who gave birth to him. You are holy because you deserve to bear him. Give us orders as our queen, because we will be happy to serve you. What can we do for you? And Mary says, you can love my son and always cherish the same thoughts as you have now. Will you let us kiss his dress? Asks Levi with an angelic smile. Mary lifts Jesus slowly and, sitting on the hay, envelops the tiny little feet in a linen and offers them to be kissed. And the shepherds bow down to the ground and kiss the tiny feet veiled by the linen. Those with a beard clean at first, almost everyone is crying, and when they have to go, they walk out backwards, leaving their hearts there. The vision ends with Mary sitting on the straw with the child on her lap, and Joseph who, leaning with his elbow on the manger, looks and adores. Then Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, note to whom the angel reveals himself first, Levi the boy. God shows himself to those who have a child's soul. The shepherds say, let us kiss Jesus' dress. They say that to Mary because it is always Mary who gives you Jesus. Say therefore to her, let me kiss Jesus' dress, let me kiss his wounds, and dare even more, let me rest my head on your Jesus' heart that I may delight in it. Come and rest, like Jesus in his cradle, between Jesus and Mary. Shortly after his birth, the time has come for the baby Jesus to be presented at the temple. Maria Valtorta describes how Mary and Joseph have journeyed to Jerusalem and they bring the baby into a vestibule encircling the temple. A priest arrives and begins the expected ritual. Anna of Phanuel, Mary's old mentor, is also present. Maria writes, Mary offers the child who has woken up and is turning his innocent eyes towards the priest with the astonished look of infants a few days old. the priest takes him in his arms and raises him with arms fully outstretched. When the ceremony is over, the child is handed back to his mother and the priest goes away. There is a group of onlookers. Amongst them, a little old man, bent with age and limping, makes his way, leaning on a stick. He must be very old, I would say over 80. He goes near Mary and asks her to give him the child for one moment. Mary satisfies him, smiling. Simeon is a simple believer, at least according to his garments, and he takes the child and kisses him. Jesus smiles at him with the typical smile of sucklings. He seems to be watching him inquisitively, because the old man is crying and laughing at the same time. Whatever moves in front of him draws his attention. Mary and Joseph smile, and so do all the others who praise the beauty of the child. I hear the words of the holy old man, and I see the astonished gaze of Joseph, the deeply moved look of Mary, as well as the glances of the little crowd, partly surprised and moved, and partly laughing at the words of the old man. Amongst the latter, there are some bearded members of the Sanhedrin, who shake their heads, giving Simeon an ironic, pitying look. Mary's smile fades into paleness when Simeon mentions sorrow. Although she knows, that word pierces her soul. She goes closer to Joseph to be comforted. She presses her child to her breast passionately, and like a thirsty soul, she takes in the words of Anna of Phanuel, who, being a woman, has mercy on her suffering, and promises her that the Eternal Father will soothe the hour of sorrow with a supernatural strength. Anna says, "Woman, he who gave a Saviour to his people will not lack the power to send his angel to console your tears. The great women of Israel never lacked the help of the Lord, and you are far greater than Judith and Jael. Our God will give you a heart of the most pure gold to withstand the storm of sorrow, so that you will be the greatest woman in creation, the mother. And you, child, remember me at the hour of your mission." According to the writings of Maria Valtorta, the visit of the three magi takes place many months after Jesus' birth, and to a house, mentioned in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Maria Valtorta describes how the three wise men, after leaving Jerusalem with a cavalcade of horses, camels and servants, follow a large star to Bethlehem, where they enter the house. The three magi climb the steps and go in. They enter a room that extends from the road to the back of the house. Mary is sitting with a child on her lap, and Joseph is standing near her. She gets up and bows when she sees the Magi entering. She is so beautiful in her plain white dress. She gives a greeting. "May God be with you." The three Magi stop for a moment, completely astonished. They then proceed and prostrate themselves at her feet. They remain kneeling, relaxing on their heels. Behind them, also on their knees, are three servants who have placed the three gifts they were carrying in front of the Magi, and now they are waiting. The three wise men contemplate the child, who I think must be 9 to 12 months old. He is so lively and strong. His pretty little curls are so bright and soft that they seem like gold dust. the oldest of the Magi, speaks on behalf of them all. He explains to Mary that one night the previous December, unknown to each other, they saw a new star of unusual brightness appear in the sky. They followed the star over mountains, across deserts, along valleys and rivers, and then they met beyond the Dead Sea. By a miracle of the Eternal Father, they were able to understand and speak the language of each other's country. They had gone together to Jerusalem because the Messiah was to be the King of Jerusalem. They applied to King Herod and asked him in which royal palace the King of the Jews was born, because they had come to adore him. Then the king gathered the chief priests and the scribes and asked them where the Messiah might be born. And they replied, "In Bethlehem, in Judah." And they came towards Bethlehem. As soon as they left the holy city, the star reappeared to them. In Bethlehem, its brightness increased, and it stopped over this house. One of the wise men then says, "Here is the gold which befits a king to possess. Here is the incense which befits a god. And here, Mother, is the myrrh, because your child is a man as well as God, and he will experience the bitterness of the flesh and of human life, as well as the inevitable law of death. Woman, if our writings and above all our souls are right, he is your Son, the Saviour, the Christ of God. And consequently, to save the world, he will have to take upon himself the evil of the world, of which one of the punishments is death. This myrrh is for that hour. May he remember and save his servants by allowing us to enter his kingdom." Mary, who has overcome the fright caused by the words of the wise man, and has hidden with a smile the sadness of the sorrowful reference, offers the child. She lays him in the arms of the oldest one, who kisses him and receives his caress. And he then hands him over to the other two. At last they move towards the door, accompanied by Mary and Joseph. When they reach the door, the Magi take leave, kneeling down once again, kissing Jesus' feet. Mary, bending over the child, takes his hand and guides it, in a blessing gesture, over the head of each wise man. It is already a sign of the cross, traced by Jesus' little fingers, guided by Mary. Joseph has gone down with the Magi, and is holding the stirrup to each of them, while they mount their two horses and the camel. Servants and masters are now all mounted. The starting command is given. The three wise men bow down as low as the necks of their mounts in a final gesture of homage. Joseph bows, also Mary bows, and then she guides Jesus' hand again in a gesture of goodbye and blessing. After this vision, Jesus gives a dictation to Maria. He says, "It is always Mary who takes Jesus' hand and guides it. I cannot reject my mother, but you must go to her and make her your advocate." And without any word, but only with her tears and the memory of the cross, the sign of which she makes me trace in the air, she pleads your cause and exhorts me, "You are the Saviour, therefore save."